Speak carefully. It makes a difference. That's what James, Jesus' brother, who writes this letter to the early Christians, that's what he wants to encourage them and remind them. He says that living a real faith looks like speaking carefully because it makes a difference as a follower of Jesus. You know, last week I put on some boots and we were discovering that real faith requires action, as James talks about this in the passages. And so it means boots on the ground. It means that road that we walk as a follower of Jesus is sometimes rough and sometimes difficult, and it requires some tough terrain. And so we put our boots on and we walk through those kinds of trials in our lives, knowing that it is making us into the likeness of God's Son, Jesus. And so we can count it all joy. The attire of today's message is a little different because we can't really dress the part of the body that we're going to talk about today. In fact, if we could, it might seem that the best thing we could wear for this part of the body is some duct tape. Any idea what we're going to be talking about today? So the apostle advises us that it's not actually duct tape that we're going to wear today, but instead he advises us something different. He says this: "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." So we don't cover our mouths with duct tape, but the point is clear. Be very careful in what you say. Before we speak a word, consider it very carefully. So as a follower of Jesus, our words matter. They matter a lot. All of our words make a difference. It's a key theme in James's letter, because you and I, what we say reflects on the very character of our faith. What comes out of here, comes out of our mouth, reveals what's going on inside our hearts. And so as followers of Jesus, our words make a difference. James continues, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So in other words, if we're not controlling what we are saying, and we're not speaking good words, then we're not really practicing a real faith as a follower of Jesus. And the words we speak are telling us the condition of our faith. So be careful. Pay close attention. Speak carefully. It makes a difference. So we might ask, well, how does it actually make a difference? Does it really matter what I say? Well, speaking carefully first makes a difference in teaching God's word. This is a little different angle, but James says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." You know, it's interesting that people who know the Bible are reluctant to teach the Bible, partly because of passages and verses just like this. It says, you know, teachers of the Bible will be judged a little more strictly because what they say has a huge impact. But this Bible passage doesn't actually excuse us from the challenge to become good teachers, to do the hard work of teaching the Bible. Some of you should take on that challenge because the church needs good Bible teachers. Some of you would be that and can be that, are that. But it is a warning that it does matter what we say as teachers of the Bible. The words we choose can lead people into the truth and life and fullness and joy, but it also can mislead people down the wrong path, even destroying faith. So words are important. James is relating that no one is perfect, no one is sinless, and there isn't a perfect Bible teacher. Did you know that? There isn't one. And here's why. Because the tongue is extremely hard to control, and it's very easily misused. And it's the very instrument that we use to teach. You know, I stand up here and use my tongue all the time. And at the end of the message, I wonder, wow, I hope I said that right. So he warns anyone who teaches to be very careful in what we say. But he also gives us encouragement that if a person is in control of their tongue, then they're on their way to living a real faith with boots on the ground. So don't use this as an excuse, but to do the hard work, but rather know God's word and then be careful with what we say. Now James moves on to from teaching to affect. So how we speak makes a difference through influencing others. So James writes to the church about the influence of our tongue and compares it to the bit in a horse's mouth, the rudder on a great sailing ship. He writes, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts." You know, if James were preaching today, he might use a car as an example. You know, I was driving to Alexandria the other day, and I came upon a couple of vehicles that were ahead of me, and they were driving 52. I don't like driving 52. You know, there's just something about it that I just have to get around them and get going, at least 55, right? And so I looked down the road, and then I wheeled out around them. And as I'm driving, I'm thinking this vehicle weighs thousands of pounds, and I'm barreling down the road, and it's being controlled only by this little steering wheel on the dash. Wherever I want the car to go, I just have to turn the wheel, and that's where the car goes. You know, it's a small part of the car, but it has a powerful influence on wherever it leads it. Unfortunately, I realized that it was easier to pull out than it was to get the old Chrysler Sebring to accelerate. So just like a steering wheel or a rudder of a ship or the bit in a horse's mouth, that's the power that our tongues have in influencing others. James says it makes great boasts. You know, the tongue can influence a few friends and it can alter the destiny of nations. You know, as we listen to the inaugural address this week, we want our presidents to speak good words. You know, words that bring peace and not war, and words that bring unity and not division. It makes a difference. The words we speak affect the lives of others. It affects them for good and it affects them for evil as well. You know, I wheeled around those cars and turned out with just a little turn of the steering wheel. I was able to speed up, you know, and the speed I wanted to go after I had passed. But as I was in the other lane and I was driving along, I was thinking, you know, this is taking a little longer than I expected. And I started looking ahead to see if there's anything coming down the road. You know, if I wasn't careful, a little turn of the wheel could cause great damage down the road, not just to myself, but to other drivers as well. And so it is with our words. We must be careful with what we speak. James says this about our words. "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it is itself set on fire by hell." You know, the tongue has the potential really to control, but it also has the potential to destroy in a great way. You know, to influence for good or for evil. And it can get out of control very quickly, like a wildfire, unless we keep it reined in. So has your tongue ever gotten you in trouble? Have you ever said something that, I see some looks at other people, so we're talking about our own tongues here. You You know, have you ever said something that you wish you could take it back just as soon as it got out, but it was too late, it got out, and it began to catch everything on fire around you. And after it was too late, we found out that we couldn't take it back because the damage has already been done. You know, James says that the words we speak affect our lives and the lives of others. Our words have the power to direct lives. And it's incredibly important that we direct people in the right way. Therefore, there are some things you shouldn't do with your tongue. So you might remember this from the Christmas story. You know, in Minnesota, we learn at an early age that we don't stick our tongues on cold metal in the middle of winter. You know, if we do, it sticks, right? And then some skin comes off with it, and ugh, it's a terrible thing. But losing a little skin off our tongue is nothing compared to what we lose when we fail to speak carefully. James writes, "All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing." You know, a few words spoken in anger can destroy a relationship that has taken years to build. The tongue is wild and it's dangerous. It can break hearts. It can ruin reputations. You know, sometimes we would be better off if we just took some duct tape and stuck it over our tongues. But we can't do that. We don't want to let those evil words loose. For many of us, our words have caused conflict or pain and sorrow and brokenness. And we can't hardly believe what has actually happened. And we wonder, how did it come to this? You know, in chapter 4, James writes, "Brothers and sisters," he's speaking out of a compassionate heart, "do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" There are some things that we shouldn't do with our tongues. You know, if we come to church today and sing worship songs and then drive away in our car and argue and fight on the way home, then something's wrong. You know, if we find ourselves cussing and swearing downtown or something doesn't go well at work and our tongues fly off the handle, then we're being inconsistent with living a real faith as a follower of Jesus. And we wonder, well, does it really matter? I mean, doesn't everybody do that? Is my foul language really making a difference? And the truth is, yes, it does matter. Of course it does. Because it's a symptom, not of just what's coming out here, but what's going on inside. You know, I'm not perfect. A few words do slip out of my mouth. In fact, when I was young, I was a great cusser. I learned some really good cuss words, and I used them very well, with hurtful accuracy. But it's different now. You know, I can still cause conflict or pain or hurt with the words I use, but it's rarer now, it's much less. But I do need to say, as your pastor, as a brother in Christ, you and I cannot speak harmful or hurtful or demeaning words to one another. It's not living a real faith. You and I cannot speak to our spouses and loved ones with caustic language, or to a child, or to a parent with disrespect and demeaning words. We can't say these things and think we're living a real faith. It's a lie. If your mouth is feeling words of war, or if it's inciting conflict and strife with others, or if your posts on Facebook are full of slander and gossip, then let's be honest. It's inconsistent with living a real faith in Jesus. So let's call it what it is. It's evil, and it comes from the devil. James says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So how does it come to this? You know, we all have good intentions. So what do we do if what's coming out of our mouth is not good, is not what we want to hear? James says, no human being can tame the tongue. If you find yourself struggling with words that you use, and we all do at times, and the things that we are saying are not the good words we want to hear, there is good news. God can tame our tongue. James chapter 3, he continues, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce water. We can't speak what's inconsistent with our hearts. So as followers of Jesus, the Lord has given us something amazing. We have a new heart. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us and gives us self-control over our tongues. So James says that the inconsistency of both praising and cursing should not be. So as a believer, we have this new potential within us to control the words that we speak, that we speak good words, and we speak carefully. There are some things we shouldn't do with our tongues, but there are some things we should do. So what difference does it make? Well, the gospel makes all the difference here. Because our tongues, like the rest of our human nature, are fallen and broken. You know, they were perfect, created. God gave us dominion over the world. And yet we can't even control our very own tongues, even though they're just this little part of our body. Because they're under the control of sin and Satan. Until we are redeemed and regenerated by faith in Jesus Christ, by faith in what Jesus did on the cross, and through his blood, we have been given a new heart and the control to speak with a new tongue. And so if you are a believer in Jesus, which, you know, hopefully most of us are here, and if we are still finding ourselves speaking this language that isn't consistent with a faith in Jesus, then the good news is this. We have the potential to speak good words. Part of it is simply surrendering all of ourselves to his control and to his leading, to the Holy Spirit, and asking God to renew our speech. You know, for me, it was a period of time. Over time, I just began to realize that I don't say those kinds of things as much as I used to. It was a slow experience. But I've talked to others who have asked God to change their voices, to give them a new voice, and out of their mouths immediately has become a whole different language, a language of love by the Holy Spirit, of joy and of peace, of patience and speaking kindness and truthfulness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. So if we're struggling with our words, then we want to draw near to God. And James says, God will draw near to you. God will fill our hearts with words that overflow with the love and fruit of the Holy Spirit. These are the words that we want to speak. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So don't let your heart be filled with the hatred of Satan, but fill it with the love of God, and then let those words of God flow through you. Speak blessing instead of cursing. Bless others. Then practice saying good words every day, and let your words bring refreshment and joy to those around you. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Speaking good words is good for you. It's good for others, and it's what God wants. It's living a real faith. And so I invite you to pray with me that God may help us to speak those words of life and spirit. And so we'll pray this together as a prayer if you would like to join. And then trust that God is going to bring that transformation. Thank you, God, for giving me a tongue to say good words. Jesus, help me to be filled with so much of your love and your Holy Spirit that I don't say harmful or hurtful things to others. Help me say your words, Lord. Help me speak words that give life. Help me say words that speak your love. Help me share words of kindness with gentleness and peace to everyone around me all day, every day. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to our Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer. Amen.